The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's May the 9th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Dave Dickey will be along, too, with all the day's agricultural news. And then we'll hear from University of Illinois Extension entomologist Kevin Steffi. He says farmers should be on the lookout this season for damage from the black cutworm. Oh, and don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us to take a complete look at the agriculture weather forecast on this Wednesday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Taking a look now at the numbers as they settled in Chicago at the Board of Trade on this Wednesday afternoon. Futures in the wheat pit at $4.71 for the nearby May contract. Lead option up 2 cents. July up a penny at $4.82 on their settlement. And September's at $4.93¾ for the soft red, up a penny for the day. May corn futures $3.57¼, up 3½ on their settlement. July contract at $3.66¼. Up 2¾, and December futures were down a half cent at $3.66 for the afternoon. May soybean futures at $7.33¾, up 7¾. July at $7.47½, they finished 8 cents higher. And November beans at $7.77¼, up 8½ for the day. May bean meal futures at $196.90, up 2.40. May bean oil at $32.84, up 22. May feeder cattle, $108.90, 57½ cents higher. June live cattle at $92.40 at the Mercantile Exchange, up 7½ cents. And the August contract gained 27½ cents at $92 even. May lean hog futures at 62½ lower, $73.87½, the final price for the afternoon there. Over at the crude oil, June contract $61.60, they're off 66 cents a barrel. July at $63.10, down 89. And the CRB index at 308.55 is off 0.35. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 13,351 is up just about 42 points for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the trade in Chicago and how you saw the gains in the bean pit for the day.
The soybean market, one of the early things is, you know, it was strong from a little higher from the night before. The canola stocks were smaller. Malaysian palm oil was significantly higher. Ocean freight continues to be a big factor in grain trade in the world. The general feeling is that this is probably going to be the largest stocks report at the end of the year, on supply-demand that we'll see for probably several years to come, because we'll gradually wean acres away from soybean production in the U.S. and probably in the world to some extent. And as a result of that, better days are probably coming in the soybean complex, much like what we experienced a year ago in the corn. You know, it just looks brighter down the road. And I think that, plus the general feeling that there is corn acreage planted east of the Mississippi, probably less soybeans, and as a result of that, the bean market performed excellent today.
When you say the largest one at the end of the year, of course, you mean the 06-07 ending right. Stocks for soybeans at 606 million on the trade guess. The April at 615 from USDA. And then next year, have that, roughly speaking, to 336 for the average trade guess. And that'll be the first time USDA takes a stab at next year's ending stocks.
Yeah, one of the most important lessons when Paul Cooley was a young trader with Tabor Grain Company, we stated that late planted corn doesn't always might mean or switching corn acres into beans. Bean yields usually aren't up to par either. So in other words, delayed plant in corn sometimes means delayed plant in soybeans, and that usually augurs for not an average to below average yield in that commodity as well.
Tell me about the fall off in the corn pit yesterday, what you saw, whether it scared you enough to think about making any additional sales for either old crop or new crop.
Well, you know, we did encourage people that had old crop inventory to move it on the rally, on the weather rally. And it's related to the fact that, you know, with this larger acreage that we're seeing being planted in the east here, was that deal. And, of course, you never want to sell the dips or use that kind of a negative plan. You usually like to be ahead of the game, and I think we were. The weather forecast last night turned wetter on the 6 to 10 and the 11 to 14 day, and we started to see shifts in buying old crop corn, selling new crop, which is encouraging. That possibly is related to maybe a supply-demand report that's not as bad as what people are looking at. There is this general feeling that west of the Mississippi and the Dakotas, when we talk to our friends in North Dakota and South Dakota and even Iowa to some extent, it wouldn't surprise them that 1 million acres of corn won't get planted out there. Then the argument comes in, could it be under 90 million acres? So there is this window of hope here that with the delayed plant, and I'm sure a rotary hoe and some corn needs to be replanted, that all adds up to some better prices. And using some of the old formulas that a bushel a day after the 10th of May is a factor, then after May the 10th in the Dakotas, it's hard to get corn planted. And, you know, you should think about other commodities out there in that kind of a situation, particularly in the North Dakota, South Dakota area. Those areas really just ballooned up as far as new acreage going into corn. So those are major market factors. The supply demand in the Canadian wheat stock or grain stock showed smaller wheat, a smaller oats inventory, and as a result of that, maybe U.S. corn values are very close to seeing some kind of seasonality bottoms in here over the next 10 days to 2 weeks.
USDA, of course, again, due to release its supply and demand reports, or WASD numbers, on Friday morning of this week. That'll happen at 7:30. We'll try to deliver those to our listeners via email and on our website by 8 o'clock. On that day, average guess, and these are on our website at willag.org now under the USDA banner. Average guess for corn at 876 million for the ending stocks this year. Grows to 1.023 billion next year, but generally speaking, most people don't think a billion bushel carryover is not that large for the corn.
Yeah, a couple things. Acreage is going to be a big factor, and of course, the yield per acre is another factor. Some people are worried that the government might change the exports, lower exports on corn. Another argument is the government used too much wheat feeding in their formulas. You know, with more cattle and more hogs, it doesn't take much arithmetic to know that maybe they should actually move that up closer to unchanged. I guess the big factor here is that there's a tremendous amount of the growing season ahead of us. The acreage factor is important, and you can only push corn down so far because really the real inventory now is in the hedged elevator hands. In other words, it's basically out of the farmer's hands. And if an end user needs to buy corn, he has to go to a hedged elevator and say, I want to have to pay up the basis. This is the crunch time, so to speak, in the next 3 months, so to speak, to get corn bought. And it's a harder job than it is when the farmer just sells it and delivers it directly to a processing plant or export market.
So you're expecting the volatility to continue
in
Chicago?
Well, it could. And a little more basis strength here as we go into the July time frame.
Sure. Take a look at the Mercantile Exchange, where cattle futures continue to trade well above $100, up at in the August at 112 in the Fed cattle now.
As we understand it, the magic word, it's profitable to process cattle steers into beef. They had some negative prices and negative processing margins. That's a good sign today. And the same thing happened to the hog industry. They did have to cut back the kill just a little bit to get back to black. And I think both of those things are basically, we have to say, mission accomplished. The one thing that we do get the feeling of is that there is going to be an adequate supply of good quality pork and beef into the chain and into the chain stores. And I think as a result of that, that should mean good feed usage, as well as the consumers are going to get a real benefit here of having a lot of pork and beef to go into the summer time frame.
Paul, we appreciate you being with us.
Have a profitable day, Todd.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Wednesday afternoons.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own AM 580's chief meteorologist Ed Keezer says tonight across the two-state region, in northern and central Illinois and in northwestern Indiana, partly cloudy. In eastern and southern Indiana and in southern Illinois, mostly cloudy skies, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Lows, he says, will range from 55 in the north to 65 in the far south. Tomorrow, says Ed, in the north, mostly sunny. In central sections, partly sunny. A few isolated showers and thunderstorms possible during the afternoon. In the south, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Highs will range tomorrow from 75 along the Chicago lakefront to 85 in some central Illinois locations. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll help you take a complete look at today's agricultural newscast. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. This is WILL AM 580.
In agricultural news, House leaders are considering removing agricultural disaster aid from the Iraq War Supplemental Appropriations Bill in an attempt to get President Bush to support the measure. Congress Daily PM is reporting that Democrat leadership is considering separate votes later this week on a number of items currently in the supplemental bill, including recovery from Hurricane Katrina, a boost in the federal minimum wage, and relief to producers whose businesses have been hurt by natural disasters. White House officials say the president will still veto the bill because it provides funding for only 3 months for the war in Iraq. Add farmed fish to hogs and chickens, which received tainted feed with an industrial chemical linked to the ongoing recall of pet food. The culprit is wheat flour tainted with melamine imported from China. Federal health officials have uncovered at least one fish farm that used the feed and are widening their investigation. FDA officials say the level of contamination is expected to be too low to pose danger to human health. U.S. investigators say at least two Chinese companies spiked feed with melamine to make their feed appear more protein-rich than it was. The Senate Commerce Committee has endorsed a measure that would increase the corporate average fuel economy standards to 35 miles per gallon by 2020. The bill would then increase the standards by 4% annually beginning in 2021. The bill would also eliminate the distinction between cars and light trucks. U.S. and South Korean officials are meeting in Seoul this week in another attempt to resolve technical problems that have kept beef trade to a trickle. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley is meeting with the Korean ambassador, and he has a simple message. The U.S.-South Korea free trade deal is at risk.
Senator Baucus and I have taken a position that we're not going to have it come to the Senate unless they start accepting our beef. And they've made some indication in recent weeks that they're going to move in that direction. If they do, then I think there's good prospects for it. This will be probably the most important bilateral agreement for the United States since NAFTA was passed 14 years ago.
The U.S. is expected to press South Korea to follow accepted international rules for beef. CONAB estimates that Brazil should harvest 57.5 million metric tons of soybeans and a record-breaking 51.1 million metric tons of corn in the 2006-07 growing season. The April crop figures were released yesterday. 31 states with 70% of the U.S. population are banding together to start a registry to record greenhouse gas emissions. Eventually, the registry could become the foundation for the trading of emission allowances. Illinois is a participant. Indiana is not. Purdue Extension officials say they have discovered glyphosate-resistant giant ragweed in at least 10 Indiana counties this spring. Giant ragweed can cause huge yield losses. Last year, just one Indiana county had the glyphosate-resistant weed. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at WILLAG.org. There you'll find all kinds of MP3 files from the day's programming, along with podcast. It's all at WILLAG.org. Well, up next, you know, the later corn planting season should put farmers on alert for black cutworm damage. I'll have more with extension entomologist from the U of I, Kevin Steffi. The black cutworm does not spend its winter in Illinois. It flies in from the south. This spring, those flights were pretty impressive across the state, says University of Illinois Extension entomologist Kevin Steffi. He says it all started in March.
Interestingly, we started getting some significant moth flights in March, but then we had that cold snap at the beginning of April, and it may have killed a few larvae, but it's likely that the eggs survived. So now with more flights coming into the state of Illinois with significant captures in several areas of the state, growers who have planted corn recently are going to have to be on the lookout for cutting injury maybe as early as mid-May.
The black cutworm, says Steffi, used to be among the top three insect pests in the state of Illinois. The trend toward earlier corn planting changed that ranking in the last 3 years. It is also why he is so intent on making sure farmers have their fields scouted for the insect this season.
One of the real problems with black cutworms and injury to corn is that at that time people have turned their attention to planting soybeans. And they oftentimes get so focused on that that they may not be watching their corn fields carefully, particularly those that are have the greatest potential for black cutworm injury. So we urge people to find someone to watch the fields or take a little extra time to watch the fields, because once they start cutting, the injury can get pretty significant.
Well, the entomologist says the fields most at risk for injury are those that were really weedy early this spring. He calls this the green carpet effect.
With Roundup being so significant in so many systems anymore, there seem to be more spring weeds sometimes than others. And any fields that had a lot of spring weeds are going to be highly attractive to the moths as they fly in to lay eggs. They'll also lay eggs on residue, but residue's sort of down the list in terms of their favorite places. And the last place they would lay eggs would be on a freshly tilled or planted field. They simply don't do that. So look for the weedy fields or look in the weediest fields first, followed by those with some residue.
An early sign of black cutworm damage is small pinholes in the leaves of the corn plant. A rescue treatment is not needed at that point, but it might be warranted should cutting begin. Steffi says to count out 20 plants in each of 5 different spots across the field. If the cutting reaches 3-5% and is done by the black cutworm, then an insecticide should be applied. The black cutworm will be in the soil very close to the plant. One other note for farmers, Poncho 250 and Cruiser 250 are both labeled for black cutworm control. Kevin Steffi says evidence is mounting that producers will not be happy with the performance of either. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Wednesday afternoon, Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana, joins us to take a look at the cash grain market. Hi, Kay.
Hi, Todd.
I was down in your area at Palestine at the Lincoln Land Agri-Energy ethanol plant on Saturday of last week, and there'll be a lot of weedy fields down there that haven't been planted just yet because, boy, are you guys wet down there. You kept telling me you were wet, but I just didn't believe it. Holy smokes, there's water standing and the fields are just filled with weeds, some of them, and, you know, it doesn't look so good. Gotten any better since Saturday?
Not really. Now, I will have to say since Saturday, they were just really pounding, you know, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and I would say we're probably maybe 50 to 60% done in corn, but there's an awful lot of corn ground not planted yet. We're probably not more than 15, 20% in beans. So, yeah, Todd, we got a long way to go here, and we've had a couple showers today, anywhere from a tenth to an inch, so we may be run out for another day or two this afternoon.
This is year two for you on this, isn't it?
This is year two, and here again, the places that didn't get planted last year had say probably 25% yield loss in corn. So, yeah, we could possibly see the same thing this year. It's been pretty wet around here.
Well, let's hope prices stay up high enough that they can recoup those losses that they'll have in production and some of what they'll reap from the benefit of a higher corn price. So what are you thinking of the cash grain market at this point?
Well, the basis continues to get better pretty handily. And in the last week since you and I talked, we've probably gained 7 or 8 cents in train values. And, you know, that they get better all the way out to new crop. But these end users just are bound and determined they're going to keep these new crop prices pretty depressed. And, you know, just reading, I read all kind of analysts, and there's a lot of them that are extremely bullish. There's a lot of them that are extremely bearish. But they're talking La Nina again. So, you know, we've still got a ways to go in this market. So you could see some fireworks later on. But in the near term, it looks like we're going to stay a little depressed, especially the corn market.
It'll stay a bit depressed, but eventually, I suppose, because most of the corn is not actually in the hand of the farmer at this point, the old crop anyway, that cash basis should continue to edge up, at least for the old crop corn?
I think the basis will continue to get better. The board, I think, will probably stay depressed for a while. These funds just may not be through liquidating yet, but we're going to see some fireworks because I think it's going to be really tough to get 152, 153, and, you know, that 90.4 million acres has got to be in question somewhere down the road too, Todd.
All right, and your bids for the day?
Our cash corn today is 349, cash beans are 711, and new crop wheat today is 397.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Todd.
Kay Whitlock is with Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana, and joins us here on Wednesday afternoons.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialist. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting regional sales manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In just about 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast, and we'll do that with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Your regional newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. The village administrator in Rantoul says he'll get a better feel for the future of 3 auto parts plants after an auction next week. That's when Cadence Innovations is expected to mount a $68 million deal against any other bids for Collins and Aikman's plants nationwide. three of them in Rantoul, and they employ 950 workers. Administrator David Johnston says a union agreement signed between the bankrupt CNA's workers and Cadence is a sign that the deal will be successful. Hundreds of upset Illinois residents are taking their complaints about soaring electric rates straight to the place where they think they can get help. They rallied today at the state capitol and pleaded with state lawmakers to provide some relief for rates that have spiked since the beginning of the year. Their rally, organized by the AARP and the Citizens Utility Board, featured pictures of two pigs with the names of utilities Ameren and ComEd on them. The lawmakers who took part and event organizers hope the rally will show legislative leaders just how urgent some help is needed. Lawmakers have deadlocked on relief options for months but continue working on a compromise. U of I law students observing Champaign County's circuit courtrooms say they're still not seeing enough African-American or Asian males on juries. The College of Law and the League of Women Voters released their annual Court Watch report today. They say while the courts appear to be holding fair trials, the makeup of juries remains out of balance with the county's population as a whole. The defense attorney for media mogul Conrad Black asked for a mistrial today in Chicago, but a federal judge didn't go for it. Attorney Edward Genson contends the prosecutors at Black's racketeering and fraud trial are prejudicing the jury, with documents mentioning his client's chef and chauffeur. For Illinois counties affected by last month's cold snap, today is the cutoff for submitting damage estimates to the government. Counties have until the close of business today to submit their loss estimates to the U.S. Farm Service Agency in Springfield. Farm Service Program Specialist Doug Bailey says the estimates will then be sent to Governor Blagojevich and perhaps to U.S. Agriculture Secretary Mike Johanns. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner, the Senior Agricultural Meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Rainfall across the Midwest or not?
Well, it looks like we will see more of it coming back. Unfortunately, for some of those western fringes of the Corn Belt, that area is probably not going to dry out quite enough before the next round of rain comes along. Next week, we will see the precipitation rebuild across the region again. We do have a few days here left in front of us where we'll see some net drying occur out that way. But the most recent model run, which updated at midday today, I was suggesting some heavier rainfall may occur in portions of Nebraska, Iowa, northern Missouri, and northern Kansas once again as we go through the middle part of next week. And that is the very same region, of course, that got hit so hard with rain during this past weekend. The forecast for the eastern Midwest, though, isn't quite as negative, I suppose. Some showers occurring in the eastern areas today will gradually diminish down to just some random showers, and we'll see those spotty showers continue off and on into the weekend. As we go into next week, I think we'll probably see, again, some sporadic showers in the east. Don't see anything really well organized until we get out to about Tuesday into Thursday of next week, and then a line of storms will come with a cool front as it drops down southward from Canada across the region. We'll probably see rain amounts vary anywhere from 3/10 to an inch and maybe some localized greater amounts. But I think this weather pattern for the eastern Midwest is pretty typical of this time of the year, and the combination of abundant soil moisture and warm temperatures has got to be putting a lot of this crop into a rapid development stage for those that are planted, obviously. For the areas that are still trying to get planted, I think there will be enough dry weather in the eastern belt that we will get that job done within a relatively decent amount of time.
Farmers have demonstrated, certainly in the last week, that they're pretty resilient and can get a crop in the ground. Bean planting should start taking place across much of the Midwest in the next few days. We probably ought to check in on that soybean crop and the corn crop, too, in China, if you would for me, please.
Yeah, most of China right now has been enduring some warmer than usual weather that has created a little bit of a stressed environment for some of these recently planted crops. You mentioned the corn and soybean crops over there. They are going into the ground rather aggressively right now. There hasn't been a tremendous amount of rain in eastern China for a while, and the temperatures there have been above average. The end result has likely led to some faster than usual planting pace, but there is a growing concern now that it's getting a little bit too dry, and some of these crops may not establish as well as they should without a little bit of moisture coming on. Now, some showers and thunderstorms are expected tomorrow into Friday that will offer a little bit of relief to parts of this region, but it's probably going to fall short of what is needed there, and we'll have to keep a closer eye on them down the road. Right now, I don't think that any area in China is critically dry, but there is a ongoing concern with some of these crops being more advanced than usual, and that in conjunction with the fact that we're seeing seasonably dry conditions has created this greater stress environment.
And finally, if you could check in on the wheat-growing regions across the globe.
Yes, certainly U.S. hard red wheat is one of the areas that I am concerned with right now just because of all the rain that has fallen here recently. It's been great for starting to replenish the long-term aquifers out there, but it's creating some adversity for the crop as it continues to develop through reproduction and beginning to fill and mature. We're going to have some wet weather diseases possibly evolving out there along with some quality problems. In areas overseas, it's still too dry in southeastern Europe and portions of the Ukraine. These areas are not likely to see a tremendous amount of rainfall anytime real soon, so the moisture stress environment there is likely to expand somewhat. And in Australia, of course, we're still waiting for better follow-up rains after precipitation fell earlier this month. We are not expecting any big soaking there for about another week. Maybe sometime in the week of the 21st, we may start seeing better rain there.
Drew, we appreciate you being with us.
Well, thank you, and have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is the Senior Agricultural Meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated. That is today's edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.